So, has any one of you a mobile phone? And if so, did you ever consider making games for it? Or on it? I may introduce you to Joseph Hill, who is not only an active community member, helping, for example, organizing the GodotCon in Boston last year, and he also helped funding the Xamarin company, and now is working on bringing the Godot engine to iPhone and iPad, and he thinks you should consider mobile. So please welcome Joseph Hill.
Thank you. Thanks. So, thanks for that introduction. I have some mood setting questions, but like I was sitting here looking at you all and thinking about mobile and developing on mobile, and I thought, I'm going to ask a different question first. It's off slides. I'm going off the course here. How many of you use Macs? Okay. All right. My daily driver is a Mac, but I thought this is going to be a very Windows-centric audience. So I borrowed myself a Windows machine, and I made sure all my demos would work well on Windows. So those of you that use Macs, you can tell your friends it's like nothing I'm going to say is particularly Apple-bound. But you know that's my frame is coming from Apple. But anyways, another mood-setting question. I just want you don't have to answer, but you know, think a little bit about why you're building games. I've asked this question to people. I've asked it here at the conference. You get a range of answers. Everybody kind of has their own itch to scratch. But let's say I think it's important to think about as you think about this broader question like we had at the panel this morning about like what platforms do you want to target? What order? You know, how do you want to take things on? What is your goal? And how can you meet that goal? So with that in mind, I will tell you a little bit about myself. I was introduced, but I'm organizer of the Boston Godot Meetup, and due to that, helped organize the first GodotCon in the U.S. in Boston earlier this year. And I work on Zago, which is a product that we announced at GodotCon earlier, which is Godot running on an iPad. So if you want to develop games on iPad or even now on iPhone, we have the engine. That's not what this talk is about, for the most part, but it certainly ties into it a bit. So more relevant to the topic at hand, my background is largely mobile. I started, I was a C# developer, and I started working on Mono as a open source project in my spare time, and that got me into the community. Where Mono, for those of you who don't recall, that was like the original open source implementation of .NET to run on Linux. And at the time, getting Windows developers that were, all the C# developers to think about targeting Linux was kind of a tall order. They were like, why would I target Linux? But then the iPhone came out, and suddenly all the C# developers were like, can you get me on the iPhone? Because Microsoft's not going to make that happen. So we made a company, Xamarin. We put C# on the iPhone. We also, through Mono, helped, in fact, that was kind of the, what led us to see the opportunities. The first place we put Mono for the iPhone was for Unity. They were already using Unity. Unity was already using Mono, having replaced Python, interestingly enough. And they needed help getting around the technical limitations of the iPhone. We helped them do that, and then, the demand surged, and we made a company, which Miguel and I sold to Microsoft and spent some time at Microsoft before leaving to do, we didn't know what, but we were pretty excited about Godot, and Unity created an opportunity for Godot to see some serious growth, and so here we are. So, all right, back to questions. I love polling the audience. How many of you are targeting mobile already? Okay, that's pretty good. I would think with a title like Mobilizing, that would draw in a little bit more than the average segment, but I think this is pretty representative of the Godot community. This is the Godot survey from last year, and I guess it was a yes or no question, which platforms are you targeting? And you can see iOS is pretty low, and Android's not really doing too great either at only 30%. Another way to slice the data is this year's Godot survey, which kind of asked, what is your intent? Like, how interested are you in it? And iOS wins the most actively not interested category, barely edging out the Epic Game Store. So anyways, but Android's, you know, not particularly high either. It's kind of a, just sort of a, ho-hum. But, like, why is that? This seems surprising to me. This has been surprising to Miguel and I. So, because when you look at the business, right, you look at the market, like, this is where the money's being made. This being a fairly, I think this is 2024 data. So, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in mobile. There's a lot of eyeballs there. But Godot developers, which again, the AIM engine itself is pretty well suited to mobile. Another way to look at it, that I stole the slide from Apple's own presentation. I couldn't get just the slide, so I had to steal the whole thing. But anyways, 800 people go to the App Store every week. 800 million. That's important. And yeah, so like there are a lot of eyeballs. There's a lot of opportunity there. But people, you know, you people, Godot developers, aren't necessarily going there. So why is that? So, you know, I went out and looked on Reddit. I talked to every developer I can, everybody I've tried to, like, you know, kind of shop the idea around. And these are the general answers I get. And I think they're all pretty valid. And I think what I'll do is I'll just take them on one at a time. So, you know, the first thing people claim is that their app isn't necessarily map well to mobile, and that could be true. But the fact is if there's, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. When there's a breakout success, like invariably you see that like people do start thinking about mobile. And if they don't, somebody else is often willing to step up. I mean, go search for any popular game on another platform that's not in the App Store. You'll find varying levels of ripoffs of them. So, you know, that's a thing to keep in mind if you're making something novel. There are legitimate differences, right? When you're targeting mobile, like you had simpler controls, it has to be touch. It can be landscape or portrait. But Godot itself, you know, provides the facilities. If you're not aware, Emulate Mouse from Touch works pretty well. Scaling, if you think up front about your layout, you can handle both landscape or portrait, or you can just decide to lock into one or the other. So there are plenty of genres of games that really just make sense everywhere. That if you're working on any of these kinds of games on the desktop, they probably map well. There are legitimately genres that maybe don't map as well. I would what comes to mind for me is like an RTS, especially if it's a keyboard heavy one. If anything with complex controls that's multiplayer. I think there are plenty of first-person shooters that are successful on mobile, but maybe you don't want to enable cross-play between your mobile players and your people that are sitting behind a power station with full keyboard mouse setup. Dealing with Google and Apple is a pain. We talked about this a little bit at the panel this morning, but just to repeat it for those that didn't hear it, like, yes, there is an approval process. Most markets you want to be in, you do have to go through an approval process. Apple's notoriously hard on people, but most of that generally is aimed at the larger app space. A lot of the frustration I think you generally hear from people about apps publishing through the App Store is, that you have to jump through a lot of hoops around, data collection if you're dealing with finance. So, Apple's pretty aggressively interested in game developers, and it's not as challenging for game developers to get through approval as it might seem if you haven't done it. Platform tax, again, everybody, I'm like, this is like one of my favorite ones is when people say, well, it's 30%, Apple takes a 30% cut and that's just too much. And, there's a tendency with developers to optimize for problems they wish they had. And I feel like this is a definite case of that. If you need to avoid the 30, when that becomes a problem to you, that's certainly the discussions are happening at that level as well. But, if you're a small business, you can get on the small, if you're an indie developer and you don't have a ton of revenue from your game, you can get into the small business program, and that's a 15% cut instead of the 30% cut, which is, pretty reasonable for what you get with it, which is, access to, storefronts in every country, 2 billion devices, a lot of languages. I mean, like, I wouldn't undersell what you actually get from Apple and Google both in terms of, the facilities that they actually are providing you. And then the next thing that and I've heard these things directly from people that have actually made a go at taking a game and publishing it, which is that you can't necessarily take the business model that you have on the desktop and take it straight to the App Store, because there is a sort of expectation of free, and that's how you end up with. So if you have a paid game, like, you have to be very successful on another platform so that the marketing is aware. You know, like, if you're Balatro, yes, you can charge up front from it, because, like, people are going to be looking for it, and you can charge for it. But, a lot of people just assume that they have to re-engineer their game to a freemium model if they want to make money with the game. And I don't think that's necessarily true. It's certainly an option, but, like, if you want to preserve, your gameplay and your integrity and not really change the mechanics to be around the way the downloadable content or the whatever in-app purchases are, there is another option, which is you can do free trials. And that's something where you actually have the ability to control what it is you're free trialing. Is it a couple of levels? Is it a limited amount of time? You can get creative with that, I think, because it's really up to you what triggers actually hitting the paywall. And then, of course, there's ads. And, I left it off because, like, people aren't excited about ads, but, that's a way to get freemium. You can pay to remove the ads. I was talking to a developer that had a pretty popular puzzle game on the web, and I was like, why are you not publishing this to the App Store? And that was his response, is it seems like the only thing that would work would be ads, and I don't want to be, I don't want to, like, have my beautiful experience muddied up by having the ads around it. And I said, I think I almost convinced him. I don't know if he's going to do it. But I said, well, what you should do is you should make the ads part of the game. And so you could have the option to in-app purchase to remove the ads. But you could also say, hey, if you get the high score, I'll remove the ads for free. And then it kind of becomes like an aspect of, like, everybody who plays it's trying to get the high score. If you get it, like, there's a definite reward. And your most dedicated players, all they have to do is get the high score once, or however you want to control what the high score is. You can probably get a certain amount of volume with ads. And also, the people that can really appreciate your app will have a mechanism to get an ad-free experience. Anyways, that's me just making, I'm just shooting from the hips here. So that's, anyways, and then the other big one I've heard is that it's harder to market. And, it is true. Marketing is hard. It's hard everywhere. But the strategies that you would employ to, for instance, market your game on Steam are actually pretty translatable to marketing it to mobile. It's just a different audience. I think that there's a lot of people that drive interest through having the wish list, put my game on your wish list in Steam. Apple has the same thing with the ability to pre-order. They also have a test flight service that works pretty well if you want to, like, beta and build up a community of users and get feedback prior to releasing. So just be aware that those facilities are there. So I've done my best to address, like, what I hear is the main issues. Maybe if there's other things that are holding you up, you can share with me what you think they are. But what I think really is true is that there's something else that drives people to not want to do mobile, which is that they're already comfortable in the space they're in. The desktop market is big and well-established in North America and Europe, less so in Asia, EMEA. And so it's easy to just focus on those parts of the world. But at the same time, going back to those questions I asked at the beginning, like, if you want to bring the light to all the users you can reach, there are big parts of the world where mobile is the only game platform. Like, I have a Switch. I love it. I don't want to brag, but I also have a PlayStation 5. There are many parts of the world, like, having a phone is like the source of is the source of all entertainment and functionality. So those people, they want your games as well. So the other big one, the most legitimate one, and the one that, of course, I come here to attempt to answer today, is that there is also the technical challenges. And I think this is what is the counterbalance to the momentum. You develop on the desktop, it's easy, you can iterate right there in one place. And the thought of going and figuring out Xcode or exporting from Godot to Xcode or to publish to Android and having to bring up a different set of tools and publish and have a pipeline that's a lot more convoluted is you know, it's a bit of a put off. And that's, I think that's, those are legitimate concerns. And so that is what we're attempting to solve with Zego today. We just announced Zego Connect. I just pushed the blog post live as I was walking up on stage, but it's up in the asset library, and you'll be the first people I'm demoing it for. So let's all hope that goes well. Here's my demo. And I'm on Windows, so like, you know, bear with me. This is not okay. So you know, so I have a project here that you might be familiar with, which is the Kinney Starter Kit, and you know, via the asset library, I have installed Zego Connect, which you can see was just, it's pretty recently published, so it's there. And when you install that and enable the plugin, you get a new tab over here, Zego. Man, if I knew how to change my screen size, I would do it, but hopefully you can all see that. So Zego is this app. Which, like I said, it's a full editor on the iPhone, but if you're not into writing code on the iPhone and you want to do it, you know, you want to stay in Godot to do your work, we've added a remote tab at the bottom here. And when that's on, it advertises itself as being available. So if I search for peers, and we're on the same network, there it is. Okay. So it found my phone, and I can now go up to the remote deploy to button that Godot already has, and I can now select my iPhone. And pushes over the changes, whatever. And so it also enables on-screen controls, and I'll show those a bit more in a moment. But if I, you know, Kinney's starter kit is already configured for Bluetooth controllers. So so before I turn my back on you and just try to explain that whole thing. So if you have a Bluetooth controller input map already set up, you can enable through project settings, I'll show you in a moment, on-screen controls, which are it's part of iOS that it emulates Bluetooth. So you're getting, you know, these controls, you may not love them, we'll get into that in a moment, but it gives you a quick way to take a game that you've developed with controller support and get it running on the device. So if I come over here, I have a breakpoint set at Coin Collect, and you can see I'm now able to, you know, look, you know, inspect my stack, step through code, and continue running. And I also have the ability to browse the remote scene tree. And so if I select, for instance, the player here, I can, let me see here, where is it? Oh, I'm searching for something I shouldn't be searching for. How do I get rid of that? No! Man, what did I do? Anybody who knows what I've done, you can tell me. Why is my inspector limited to just the coin here? Anyone? Oh my gosh. I only did the demo like four times right before coming up here, so who knows what I did in that one. All right, well, okay. So long story short, you can, in theory, inspect variables on the, here we go, well, here we go, now things are working. Okay, there it is. I'm on the camera. Okay, so if I come in here, this will be, you'll have to look very closely, but if I come in with the player selected, I can change, you know, the variables, and it's all live. So if I want to, you know, if I want to test how something's behaving, I have the ability to do that directly. So as I mentioned, we have on-screen controls added to the project settings. So once you install the Zego extension, if I look for the virtual controller, you can actually configure whether or not the controls are visible, left thumbstick, right thumbstick, up to four buttons. Those will just map directly to the Xbox controller mappings and input maps if you have those set up. There are, I think one way to view this is it's a facility for, you know, for moving quickly. If you already have that set up, then this is a way to get over there. And then you can think about if, you know, how you might want to change your inputs. You could use, for instance, if you have mouse look already, you can use emulate touch And then instead of using the right thumbstick, you would just have mouse look, would automatically work, which I could probably demo, but I don't have time. So I can demo afterwards if anybody wants to see that. And what else could I show? I feel like I have like four other demos that are way too big to get to in 3 minutes, and none of them that I can do. All right, so I'm just going to go back to the slides. I think I'll call it, and we can do Q&A, right? You can handle that. Is that all right? Let's do that. Okay. So with that, I will open it up. I will say thank you to everybody and open it up to Q&A. Yeah. Here we go.
All right, I see the first question.
Hi, thank you for your great talk, and thanks for making Zogot. I've seen people using like game jams and stuff, and it's a really amazing project. So just two kind of points. First of all, I didn't see you talking about the Quest 3 on your slides or XR development as being something that Godot developers are targeting. So, but it's also, you know, that's a growing platform and we should be trying to make games for XR. And also there's an awful lot of innovation in that space. So if you want to make like a totally new experience, which never happened before, you know, you can develop it for XR and you can have holographic things and you can interact with the real world. So just wondering if you've any thoughts on that as something that we should be doing more as Godot devs. And just related question, I've seen some devs on YouTube complaining about Godot Android performance. Godot 3 apparently is faster than Godot 4 for Android. And I'm just wondering if you've any thoughts on that.
Well, I can speak to the first one definitively. I probably can't speak as well to the second one. So when Miguel and I decided to do the Zogot thing, we were actually looking at the Vision Pro. We knew it was coming out and we were starting to play with the SDKs. And so it was good timing that Unity said that that would be a good time for us to check out Godot. And I think the area of VR, XR, it's, you know, that is something, you know, Miguel and I are very interested in being in that space. And getting Zogot onto iOS and iPadOS is kind of a necessary step on that journey and also happens to have a much, much larger market. And I also think that you make an excellent point with Quest, both as being, capable of running Godot and being accessible hardware. We don't currently have a way to target that directly, but it is something that we're looking at because it would, you know, like it makes a lot of sense. Like, totally agree. The only thing I can say on Android is that I have a Chromebook that I run the Android version of Godot on. It runs fairly well for me, so I haven't, you know, like I don't have a lot of direct experience with it. When I want to check how a behavior is in an iPad or iOS versus how it is on Android and how they're handling touch, you know, I fire it up pretty often. It works pretty well for me. At GodotCon in Boston, we had the meta guys there speaking about Android adoption, and it's pretty wide and pretty popular, and people, like, again, sort of the message I had from earlier, like that is the computing device that they have, and they use it for that. So, yeah.
Is there another question? Yeah.
This is really amazing. I did the iOS game with Godot, and it's a huge hassle to get it working. And like, even from a Windows, getting like iOS, like testing out iOS games is amazing. Does this also work with C#? Or maybe, knowing Miguel, it works with Swift?
Yeah. I don't know. So. Both are possible. I think it's more likely that we would do Swift earlier. Realistically, GDScript is very popular, and it's pretty useful for iterating quickly. So we're going to be pretty focused on that for a while. C# would bring a lot of dependencies in, unfortunately. So I can see where in this world where you're developing from Godot and maybe Godot and Visual Studio, it might make a lot more sense. So I was like, I wouldn't say it's off the table. It's totally doable, as is Swift. But right now, we just want to be pretty focused on delivering a great experience for what we currently support.
Yeah. With that, the time is up. So please give another round of applause.
Thank you.